Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron, and in the studio, I'd like to welcome Anono Renata. Good morning.
Hi, Atamari. E te whānau whānui o Whaingaro. It's been a little while since I've been in the studio. However, I'm really, really happy to be here this morning.
I think you were in the car last time I spoke to you. Was that?
Yes. It was. The care of the mokopuna is a priority, and they they got me on the Tuesday.
Yeah.
A couple of times. Well, more than a couple.
So I wanted to talk just about the live and local event on Friday before we get into what you've brought in. So you're one of the three performers. Are you performing by yourself or with others? There's three kind of entities, groups, people taking the stage through the evening.
Entities.
Yeah, well, I don't know if some of them look like groups. There's a picture of Kermit the Frog over there, so I don't really... It's hard to say.
We'll be on third.
Okay, you're the headline act.
That's just a piece of irrelevant information. And the name of our presentation or our what we're vibing into in terms of creatively is Medicine for the People. So I'm sharing that space with Katana, who is a very established musician in her own right.
Where have we seen her before? Was it at the wellness
there's that
event
film
that you created?
That documentary about the protest down in Wellington. She featured in that.
She wasn't part of the Matariki event
that
you organised as well?
That's
where I've seen her.
And Katana has chosen to live in Whaingaroa in recent months, so that's wonderful too.
Okay.
For us to have her goodness here and her whānau as well.
She came here and decided to stay.
As many
do.
And very lucky to have accommodation, which is just beautiful, meant to be.
Yeah, if you can find accommodation.
Yeah, so the Medicine for the People really comes out of a desire to offer some, in some way, ceremonial approach to creative expression of spoken word and waiata. Going to focus on, I think, three waiata. And then... That's to and how those waiata embody giving a way through some of the very, very difficult times that many people are experiencing. And so we'll speak to that through medicine of sound and spoken word.
Okay. Instruments? Taonga puoro?
Oh, absolutely. Taonga puoro will feature... Of course, and voice from Katana and myself, and that's really important that we fill the space with those light-bearing sounds. And taonga puoro has definitely a part to play going forward as nourishment and as medicine to nourish that, you know, lift our spirits. To lift our spirits, our wairua, and that needs to happen. That needs to happen so much more than ever before, because we're really in a not in a great state right now in the world, and even in our own country, as you know, with things as they're unfolding down there in Parliament.
We feel like things might be going a little backwards.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, backwards would be exactly what most people, I hope, would say is happening. And a big distraction going into Christmas. There are much more important issues that need to be on the table and highly focused on, and they're not. And so to use the strategies that these three leaders, there's three of them, you know, currently, I'd say they don't get on that well. It's quite obvious. And that's not really good for the country going forward.
Maybe it brings hope that they might fall apart soon, and then something else.
They're falling apart. That's absolutely
something different will be happening. But who knows what the future holds in that regard?
Yes. Oh, they'll destroy themselves through their own inability to lead collectively. I mean, isn't that something we've talked about many times, about our collective vision and how we import that as a collective voice? I don't hear that with the, what do they call, the Three Stooges or something?
There are many insults flying around. I haven't heard that one.
I mean, I don't follow it daily, to be honest. I'm very aware of...
No, that's unhealthy.
Yeah. And it's not good for your mental health, you know?
No, to look upon that site for too long, for too many hours of the day and too many days in a row, it's not recommended.
No, thank you for that reminder.
Doctors and wellness practitioners all around don't advise that.
Yeah, no, it definitely hasn't been a place you'd go to lift your spirits, you know, and it should be. That's why you have leaders, and that's why you have people that manage your taxes in an intelligent way. So there's nothing intelligent coming out right now, and that's got to be really hurtful for the whole country and for every part of society. Can't possibly agree that this is really a good timing going into Well, we were looking forward to, you know, Hine Raumati, what the summer will bring for people, but it's definitely been roughed around by these insults that come from...
And while we're on this topic, we should mention Toitū Te Tiriti. There's going to be a protest on the opening of Parliament today. So that's, at the intentions on race matters, I guess, that the new government has shown. So, and it's no surprise, people were predicting this would happen right from the start.
And internationally, you know, like we just need to like show a bit of humility, like on the International Leadership Forum, you know, I mean, what's going on, you know, what's happening in Aotearoa, New Zealand? We were definitely seen as being progressive and heading in really healthy directions. That is not the case right now.
No. So if we could park those boys.
Yes, and, we can park them.
Yeah. And look at, you've got something you want to talk about today that you have planned.
Well, I know that, you know, the care of our, for want of a better word, we've claimed it as mental health, is a very big field. Excuse me. But there's a piece of writing that comes to mind that I wanted to remind us of, those of you who have a copy of this wonderful book called, well, wonderful text written by Rangi Māori e Pere, called Te Whēke, and it's a celebration of infinite wisdom. And this...
Can I butt in and just say, what does Te Whēke mean?
Te Whēke is the image of the octopus, so having eight tentacles.
Okay, because I know the word from somewhere, but I didn't know where I knew it from.
Oh, okay.
When I say I know the word, it means I heard it somewhere. Yes. Obviously, I didn't know much about it.
And so the Te Whēke is a Māori health model. It was one of the first that came out within education. And it was taken, it's been taken on board very seriously by early childhood. Yeah, by Te Whareke.
When you say education, you mean like the education
system?
Sector. Yeah, because you were involved with Kohanga Reo and Kuru Kaupapa.
Yes, I can't remember it being, Māori. Yes, those, that they had them, well, they were well and truly in place with a model, if you like, Te Aho Matua, Te Kura Kaupapa Māori. So that's an incredible document. Incredible. Mm. It's, you know, definitely. Oh, maybe the politicians should have a good look at that and the way that they practice.
So I just wanted to give that context of where you've been at various times in your life, and this Te Whēke document.
Yes, Te Whēke.
Sort of used so in that context.
Absolutely. And Te Whēke celebrates infinite wisdoms in terms of the ancient teachings of Hawaiki. So takes us back to those ancestral times and brings forward codes of conduct. Some would call them the virtues. Some would say they're values. ancient values that we've forgotten, their ways of feeding communities so that there's that cohesion and cooperation and really genuine ways of really that being together as in a collective. So it doesn't speak as such of individualism, which is a very Western paradigm, which is thriving, absolutely thriving.
Paradigm is thriving. The people living according to the paradigm, not so much.
Yeah, no, not at all. You can't possibly, you're not born into the world to live on your own. That's not the journey.
Yeah,
it's about your collective joining together with others to share your wisdom and to help each other get on with life. Yeah, so those who don't have something that to nourish them, that you can bring that forward into their lives at pivotal times or just spontaneously or maybe it's within a program or a workshop but those offerings, you know, we need them to generate goodness and life to continue to have people aren't having a good life. That's the fact of the matter. And how can we bring some strategies that will, on an everyday level, that will empower them for that day? You know, we seem to look at these big models, which are important, just as I've mentioned about Te Whiki, but it's really the day-to-day relationships that are essential for our hinengaro, our wairua, our tinana. You know, it's rungoa. We must, rungoa is not just what you take as a herbal medicine.
Yeah.
To nourish to nourish yourself.
It's about treating the whole being.
It is about treating the whole being, and when it's not treated as a whole, then it's the imbalances really can clearly be not addressed for many years. So you might be fully embodying your physical body and find that to be working for you, but if you don't have a spiritual life, for instance, I would say that you're not grounded in any spirituality, wairuatanga, then that's a really huge missing link to grounding you on the earth, life on the earth.
We kind of live in a culture that says that isn't real, that doesn't exist, although you will hear people talk about spiritual health, like equate it to emotional health, I guess. From that context that where you science can't see spirit and can't measure it and study it.
No, well, they would call you in that context a pseudoscientist.
A pseudoscientist,
and that suits
yeah.
them to do that because it's not doesn't have the rhythm of can't be seen, can't be. You know, it's absolutely a fact. It's a fact that there is a spiritual life that we need to pay attention to, and without it, we actually can't live very well on the earth.
People have started to talk about, when they talk about mental, or when they talk about emotional health, they also talk about spiritual health at the same time, like it's part of the same thing, like it's an attempt to try and an awareness that there is something going on, that something's missing in the way we look after ourselves. And I guess, I mean, there's a whole history of rejecting organized religion that's gone into rejecting spirituality as well. So there's kind of a feeling in some sectors that somehow we've got to bring that back. But nobody really knows, kind of feeling their way forward blindly. And a lot, it feels like, and like the culture I come from anyway.
I think many of the, I can think really clearly of yoga practices that have come from the East, have come from Westerners who have travelled to the East and thought, wow, there is none of this in the West. I want to take this back and bring it to the Western mind.
And there's an event on in the town hall this weekend, actually, about meditation and yoga, and I'll be interviewing somebody about that on Thursday, I think. just as a coincidence. Yeah. And they have a story. They have their own personal story of how they came to it. So, which I presume will involve the issues you're discussing.
Yeah, I mean, the East and the West have always seen that there's an invisible borderline of this is Eastern knowledge and this is Western knowledge, and it is so. There is definitely things that come from the Western mystics and the Eastern mystics, but the East has so much to offer the West because of the track that we've gone down. So the sharing of that mātauranga that has come here amongst us is also acknowledged that it's amongst indigenous people of the world.
Mm.
So it's not outside of our fundamental understanding to sit and hear these talks about noho puku, meditation, the way forward, chanting. We call them mōtiatia, takutaku. As you know, with the revival of Māori coming forward in musically and creatively, there's some incredible energy there that brings so much goodness, and people want it and they can feel it. And it's to do with the what we call the ngākau, the whatu manua, the heart. So it has a heart centre and a genuine heart centre and a desire for the well-being of the collective.
I heard you use the word noho puku for meditation. Does that mean meditation? What is puku actually referring to? The stomach? Is that a conjoined word?
Yes.
Or what is it? What, I'm kind of intrigued now.
Well, I guess when you settle the physical body into the space of noho, which is to sit, and your puku is a sense of calm in that space because you're generally not moving in some forms, most forms of meditation. However, you know, your whole life can be a state of meditation, and that's you walking around being totally immersed in meditative practices. But to sit noho and the puku, and it's still, and that stillness is it's a great challenge, but it's a wonderful opportunity to be quiet, be still, to be still.
To be still. That's yeah. That, I was feeling like that's where it was going. Yeah, just to be still.
Yeah, just to be still.
Yeah. So, from your Te Whiki book here, what else are you wanting to bring us?
Well, I just want to read a little bit of this. It says, it talks about Māori, which is a word that we use often. We say the Māori of something. Here, its translation is life principle, thymos psyche. So Māori is an abstract concept, and it is extremely difficult to define in English, which is true, because the English words are very limiting when it comes to the conceptual values of Māori and within the kupu. So Māori is one of those. It's a very important concept, and it affects our everyday lives and living. Each individual has a Māori that remains throughout his or her existence. All living things, lakes, rivers and the sea, the bush, buildings, have a Māori which should be appreciated and respected. It helps one to relate and care for everyone and everything across the universe. In some ways, that's a huge undertaking for us to think beyond ourselves and our own community, our own whānau, but we actually have the capacity. We're born with that capacity to have a very, dare I say it, a cosmic understanding of our life force. And in Te Ao Māori, it's very much valued as the Māori, that all of life is full of essence, this life force, and we break it down into earth, wind, fire and water and quintessence. And so through that breathes into our lives understandings. But you do need experts and practitioners who understand those that mātauranga to share that back, so it becomes embodied in you. It's not just a mental activity of understanding. It's a infusion, or one of the words I hear a lot is embodiment, which I think I'm okay with.
I'm trying to imagine what our culture would be like if we had incorporated, because modern Western culture is one of the few cultures that's ever existed that kind of denies the spiritual aspect of life. And it's probably led to a lot of aching souls, I think, and from that onto chronic health problems like physical manifestations of that. And what happens in other cultures when people have an aching soul, and how is it dealt with? Because we just are disconnected and retreat into ourselves in this culture a lot, not always, not everyone, but often. And I don't know how to even visualize a culture where that sort of thing is taken care of or focused upon or nipped in the bud early on. Like, what does that look like even?
My experience has shown me that materialism is pretty much the top of the list in the Western world. So to have things is a key factor, and to generate more things, to own more items. You know, materialism is, or to improve have the latest phone. You know, that's a desire that's followed through and supported by many social media platforms. It's all about how much you can gather in terms of material wealth towards yourself. And if you can't, then you can't. Then you're poor.
Yeah, and you have less status.
You're seen as being really poor. Mm. So you fall onto this Western scale of well-being, of wealth, and that's how you are identified, you know, by your physical wealth. That's a really key factor in that identifies you, and it's extremely dangerous to have that focus as the top priority, and you can hear it. We just have a classic example recently of Black Friday. Black Friday turned into Black Weekend, then the Black Weekend Week.
Is it an American shopping
Absolutely.
Celebration? I don't know.
And didn't it just seep in like a drug that got through biosecurity? Yeah, I mean, the American way of life. I mean, hello. You know, do we need it? No, not at all. Why do we import it? Because they have ways and means of attracting us towards that. Yeah, that's a great idea. That will mean we'll have more business, more people will make more money, and the mythology around that, the mythology of who's going to benefit. More people are poor.
So we need a new mythology.
We always have.
That's a challenge because intellectually we can say, well, we know that materialism is not good for us. Lots of us know that, and we don't want to get too focused on that. But we also like a good deal, you know. So, and it's very hard to walk away from it. And if we're not even aware that there's a mythology underpinning it, assumptions and beliefs that we're barely aware of, values.
I think the mythology is very dangerous because on a young mind, it completely, they have this, they generate this belief that it's affordable, that they can actually have it. If I desire it, I can have it.
And that it's important to have it.
And that it's important to have it. Yeah. And danger zone. Collapse. Can't do it. I'm without, lost.
But where do we go? If we want to leave all that behind, where do we go?
Well, we go into great states of grief.
But I'm looking for somewhere positive to go.
Yeah. Well, there are...
We need a new mythology.
Yeah, and we need... Yeah, absolutely. We need to look forward again back. We say ancestrally, in our ancestry, you look back to go forward.
Right.
So you learn from the stories of your ancestors, how they managed and how their life unfolded and what you know of their that life. And then you take that and you look forward and you create your life stream. You don't live like your ancestors. That's not what they want you to do.
Yeah.
And it's not suitable anyway. It's for our time. But we take from that time. We don't completely ignore our past, whether it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's the medicine.
Mm.
Yeah, that is the medicine. We must not deny that we actually have an ancient past. Everyone does. We have a past that just goes way back beyond what we can even conceptually understand. And there is the medicine, is to look for those pieces of information, if you like, from a great grandfather who did this, and you go, oh, that was, you feel a connection biologically because you know that that's your ancestors, and that you can hold on to as you can bring it up and talk and mention it to people, and they go, really? And it's a way of honouring too your ancestry, which is not done enough. The honouring of your ancestry. Māori, I know Māori get blamed for honouring their ancestry. People often say to Māori, dare I say it? You're so lucky. You know who you are. I said, oh, heck. We're lucky.
What are you saying? It looks like that from the outside, but maybe it's not.
Well, it's just that we talk a lot more about our ancestry and our connection to our past. And we actually know the names of our grandparents and great-grandparents. Many Western people do not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a shame because they're not connecting back to go forward.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that is that part of the answer there.
Only a very small segment of the whole.
Yeah. So we need to wrap up now.
Yes.
I'm going to have Jasmine over to have a chat about the Environment Centre what they're up to. Is that the gist of what you wanted to?
Yeah, absolutely.
I know there's a discussion
of Te Whiki.
Yes.
And many who followed the teachings of Rangi Marie Pere.
Yeah. Can people find, Ngāna Noa has a book here in the studio. Can people find that book anywhere?
It's not so easy to, but
it would
make a great gift if you were wanting to have one for yourself. And
is it still in publication even? Probably not.
Probably not.
Okay.
Having said that.
You have to befriend Ngāna Noa, folks. This is the only way.
Aye.
All right, thank you for coming in.
Aye. Kia hau maru koutou.